We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop,
acknowledge me!
Episode 387 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Droste, Jesse Velasquez, with no shortage of topics to discuss with all of you here this Sunday morning, June 22nd, 2025. Jesse, how are you doing this morning?
No shortage of heat either. I had to turn off my AC about 10 minutes ago. It's going immediately on as soon as we are off this air because, yes, summer has officially started, if you didn't know. And I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing we are a little bit south of me.
Yeah, it is like 103, 104 degrees, feels like, outside here in the upper Midwest. It's been brutal the last couple of days. And as our other counterpart, Justin Joint, told us this morning, he has to mow the lawn in this heat. My God, Justin. Justin, thoughts and prayers. It's not going to be fun. Justin had some family stuff going on. He couldn't join us. But later, he's going to be mowing the lawn in this heat dome, apparently.
Get that man a bucket hat, like a wetsuit. I mean, hose him down. Hopefully, his two kids just take water guns and just shoot him the entire time. I don't know how else you're going to stay cool in this. And I'll probably be listening to this show as he is mowing the lawn as well.
Probably. So hello, Justin. Hope you're doing all right. Maybe Justin will have to grade your sweating, Jesse, with your AC off during the show. Justin loves to grade sweaters here in pro wrestling. My God, there's so much to talk about today. Obviously, people know about what happened yesterday in the Middle East and how that is going to be impacting possibly WWE's plans for this weekend, or maybe not. We're going to discuss. So as we get going here, you can let us know your thoughts in the chat room. Should WWE cancel Night of Champions? Will WWE cancel Night of Champions? And of course, while you're here, you guys, so we can get this show out to as many people as possible, please make sure you like the video. That helps us in the YouTube algorithm, and subscribe while you're here. And if you're on the podcast feed, which is still where predominantly the majority of our listeners are, we would appreciate if you'd leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to your podcast, but especially Apple and Spotify. That helps us out. Written reviews are even better. All right. So we're going to hit AEW. We're going to hit WWE. But I think right away, what we need to talk about, Jesse, is the lay of the land in the Middle East. Because, yes, we saw last night the U.S. made a strike. Well, it was last night U.S. time, early morning in Iran, I believe. But the U.S. made a strike on 3 nuclear sites in Iran, where the United States government believes that they have been working. Some in the United States government believe that maybe they've been working to develop a nuclear weapon, although other elements of the Trump administration have told the president that they are not working on a nuclear weapon. But the president appears to be getting information from outside of the United States national security apparatus, because all reporting is that they all told him that this is not happening, but he believes it's happening. One thing we do know, I don't want to get too much in the weeds with the details of government and politics. I'm going to try to stay as neutral as possible as I can on this, although longtime listeners of the show probably know where I stand on this. The United States previously had a nuclear deal with Iran, which pretty much grounded their nuclear program. That was made in 2015, took years to put together. And during the first Trump presidency, he came in and he ripped up that nuclear deal. Why? I'll leave that to your own interpretation. Immediately after that, their nuclear capabilities and production ramped way up. Okay, so the nuclear deal had been working if you look at nuclear activity in Iran. And ever since that deal was ripped up, it's gone up a huge amount. And so basically where we're at now is, you know, the fear that Iran is making a nuclear weapon and that the United States felt, or the president felt, that they needed to strike before they had an operational nuclear weapon. Now, if you're of the age that we are, we've heard this before, back at the start of the Iraq War. And what we found in that war was they never had a nuclear weapon, Jesse. I don't know what's, obviously nobody knows right now, but what I do know is the United States made a strike on a country that had not attacked the United States. And obviously now they have responded by saying that United States bases are targets throughout the Middle East. And there's a lot of American bases in the Middle East. I know some people that are there right now, in fact, stationed over there, which, you know, I'm thinking about them. If you're the WWE and you have a show in Saudi Arabia, which is very close to Iran, are you sending your crew over there 7 days after the United States government attacked Iran? I mean, it seems like a risky proposition. We know they get paid an awful lot of money to do these shows. But when the state government of Iran is saying that, you know, Americans are targets over there, do I think that they're going to attack Saudi Arabia? No, I do not. But there are lots of terrorist organizations that align with Iran. Could they potentially strike a soft target? It's possible. You would hope security would be ramped up. To actually attack the Saudi Arabian government, like Iran itself attacking Saudi Arabia, does not seem like it would happen right now. Although the world's crazy. When these wars start, if it gets bigger than it already is, like Iran and Israel are at war right now, have been for just under 2 weeks. If these wars get big, the dominoes start falling, and the entire, like, could it happen that things get out of control while the WWE crew is there and all of the Middle East goes to war, and then all of a sudden Saudi Arabia is thrust into the war with our people over there? That could happen. You know, I think that's the biggest danger, you know, perhaps. So I've been talking for a little while. Jesse, your thoughts on what's happening and what you think WWE should do and what you think they will do.
That is the United States history teacher in you, and I truly appreciate the crash course on what's going on with the Iranian nuclear system. If you had any semblance of a brain / common sense, you would not send any of your workers over there. You would, especially your COO. There's just way too much to risk. Now, in terms of semblance or of a brain and common sense, we have seen, especially in 2025, that the WWE as a whole leans towards the exact same political landscape that just dropped these bombs on Iranian nuclear plants. So they are not going to cancel this show, in my humble opinion. And like you stated, they probably won't go invade Saudi Arabia, but you don't want to take that risk. It's asinine. You don't want to put any lives in danger, but with this current situation. However, I mean, I'm being a little bit redundant here. No, I just don't think they care. They see a lot of green in Saudi Arabia. Their relationship with the higher ups, with the Saudi Arabian government and the king and whatever and whatnot, to them, it's way more important bottom dollar wise than the infrastructure of the people there.
Yeah. No, I would be stunned if they canceled the show, unfortunately. I mean, we've all been waiting for news updates. I just don't think it's worth the risk. I don't know why you'd send your crew halfway. We know there's been issues over there before, you know, with what happened on that flight and when they were held on the tarmac all, you know, for hours and hours. And they downplayed that after the fact. I know people that were working there at the time. That was a scary situation. It was WWE corporate tried to downplay it. It was not a good situation. I mean, something like that could happen again. I don't know why you would even risk it. You can move the show. I see Ryan Huffman in the chat here. Night of Champions mm-hmm. will be moved to the LA Memorial Sports Arena. Yeah. I mean, they moved WrestleMania 7, Jesse, because of the threat of in Los Angeles was going to be attacked, right? No, it was slow ticket sales, but that was the corporate speak at the time. Mm-hmm. Certainly this is an actual dangerous situation. But a lot of dollars are at play for WWE, which is why they run these shows. And look, you can go back in the Top Rope Nation archives. Go back to when they announced this agreement with the Saudis in 2018. We're not, unlike a lot of the other wrestling podcasters and wrestling media members out there, we've been against it from the beginning, just like a lot of people, because of the sketchy history in Saudi Arabia with, murdering journalists and all of this. There's people that are wrestling on the show that at one point in time, Jesse, were against WWE working with Saudi Arabia. And boy, those objections have gone silent of late. And we'll be talking about him here
yeah,
in a little bit as well.
I'll interrupt. I was actually going to say, if the balls hadn't been taken off of a certain performer by TKO, I think that said member would be a little more outspoken on this scenario. Unlike yeah. those who actually care and wear t-shirts in support of it on television. We love you, Brody King.
Purchase that t-shirt that Brody King's selling to raise funds already. I know Justin had sent that to us in our group chat yesterday. Good stuff. Brody King is a good dude. John Hope chiming in. No worker should be put in danger for their workplace unless you've signed up for that. Yes, and certainly WWE personnel have not signed up for that. Carl calling back to Vince threatening a senior royal family member when all of that chaos happened before over there. So yeah, we'll see if there's any updates. They certainly could move the show. I mean, for God's sakes, they moved WrestleMania to the Performance Center when COVID struck. They don't have to run this show. I mean, this brings up a bigger point too. You know, we got the King and Queen of the Ring tournament and all that happening over there, but they're also, Jesse, running one of their most marquee matches, a guy that we alluded to here just a second ago that they could run right now in this era. They got SummerSlam right there, but instead of doing Punk Cena at SummerSlam, they're running it in Saudi Arabia and they're doing all of this, you know, inside baseball about, they're alluding to what Punk said about The Miz and Blood Money and all of that, but they're not outright telling you. So they're like really getting in the weeds because they know that like some of the audience knows about Punk being a hypocrite on this. And, if you want to shout out the WWE title, you got to follow me to Saudi Arabia. You know, John Cena. But they're not really explaining it. You have to actually know what's happening. They're just alluding to it because if they actually call out what's going on there, it makes the whole company look bad. So they can't really tell you crystal clear, you know, like, Punk said this. They're not going to tell you that because it makes the company, like, the whole storyline is that the company is shitty and that Punk criticized them. And now Punk is going to have to toe the company line and go over there to challenge John Cena. Right. So I guess John Cena is the corporate champion in that regard, Jesse. I mean, the whole thing has been a total mess. This should have been a match at SummerSlam, not in Saudi Arabia. And it all feels like to me is they're just making Punk do things he's not comfortable with because they got him by the balls, Jesse. What do you
think? Cena nailed that one. Niall, to your point in SmackDown, by the way, that is in Saudi Arabia the night before this PLE takes place in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, John Cena and CM Punk is a marquee match. It would be 14 years later after the fact, which we've alluded to, that Friday night Friday Night SmackDown will be 14 years to the day of CM Punk's pipe bomb. He was actually wrestling R-Truth, and he put Punk through a table when R-Truth was the one who speared John Cena before said pipe bomb 14 years ago. So I think what I was actually going to say is, coming up next on season 10 of WWE 2010, John Cena and CM Punk are at it again. And Cena is attempting to cosplay one of the most famous promos in the history of the business that's almost starting to become a little bit hypocritical. I want your thoughts, Ryan, on him saying, Cena, that is, the mood is starting to change and Elvis has left the motherfudging building. Because there's so many other token points I want to go over, but let's get your thoughts on this.
I mean, it's a famous line. It's fine. Whatever. I always enjoy an Elvis shout out, but I thought the pipe bomb itself was, I saw people so excited about it. I'm trying to find a picture of it right now. Their photo galleries are such a just horrible to navigate on .com, but I thought just the visual of Punk laying there on a Slim Jim sponsored table for 6 friggin' minutes. John Cena cuts this promo was indicative of just like how sad to me this has gotten with the corporate shilling, and just all we do is brag about how much money we make, and it's not really about the wrestling. It's about, boy, we set all these records and you paid more for tickets than anybody ever. Congratulations. You know, here it is. Let me just put this up on the screen right now. This is just sad. I mean, CM Punk is laying there for 6 minutes. Even when Punk cut that promo in 2011 in Vegas, the pipe bomb, Cena didn't lay there unconscious for 6 minutes. Like, he sat up eventually and he was kind of off in the corner and he just was listening to Punk with his eyes open. Punk had to lay there looking like a dope with the Slim Jim logo over his head for 6 minutes. This is the state of affairs right now. You know, a couple of years ago, CM Punk was wrestling dog collar matches and doing whatever the hell he wanted creatively. And then he burned that bridge, and here he is, and this is what has become of CM Punk. If you have followed this man's career for years and years and years like we have, Jesse, this sucks. It just absolutely sucks.
Almost 2 years ago to the day as well, a certain Phil Brooks called Nick and Matt a couple of counterfeit bucks.
Yeah. That was a great promo.
Yes, it was.
It gave him a second chance. And they still couldn't work together. I mean, God.
Why was
blame all around? Let me just say, I think there's a blame all around in that situation. Certainly, it's not all on Punk. Dude, you can't let a Jack Perry comment burn down your career.
No.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, why wasn't Cena halfway up the ramp during this promo so Punk could do what Cena did 14 years ago? Get up, kind of look around, and just go. And just, you can kind of get gists of the story from Punk's eyes just based on what John Cena is saying at the time. And Ryan, that looks delicious. I may have to go get one of those as soon as we're done.
My wife just brought this back for me from the coffee shop.
Oh,
nice,
my
coffee on this hot day.
Gosh.
Thank you, Mrs. Drosty.
No kidding. Just totally threw my concentration talking, I'm just off. Like,
look at this nice foam cold brew. Now it's going to be hard for me to drink from it without like slowly theatrically.
I know. I had hot coffee today, but it is what it is. Yes, I think with Cena and Punk, the obvious statement here is that SummerSlam and direction we think they're heading is Cody Rhodes is going to be the one to rescue the WWE Universal Championship away from John Cena. Now, if Cena had not kicked Punk in the nuts, you could almost pull a double turn in this scenario and have Cena go face, Punk go heel. and you could go a different direction with Cody Rhodes for a little while because it wouldn't look good. Well, it could almost could have been WrestleMania 41 having Cena and Rhodes in a face versus face scenario, but storyline wise, that's not going to make any sense. So you could maybe push a title win for Cody Rhodes to Survivor Series or maybe a month before Cena finally hangs it up.
Yeah.
There's some other thoughts of mine too.
If he did that in a match, he'd be up within 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was just motionless listening to this promo. So, you know, I saw people all hyped up on social media on the promo and the things that were said. And like, yeah, some of them were good lines. I mean, it was not really that edgy, though. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Jesse, with that promo. And this is why it's a problem. And it's not really much of a pipe bomb, because there's been all this debate on, you know, when he broke the fourth wall, like when Cena called out, you know, Colt Cabana back in the day in the real pipe bomb. And John Cena says, "Hi, Claudio Castagnoli. You know, hi, Matt Cardona. Hi, Nick Nemeth." So we're all like reading into this. Oh, did he mean Claudio Castagnoli? Like, is that like code, his initials, CNC for Colt Cabana? And did he say a Matt and a Nick because he was alluding to Matt and Nick Jackson? Or is he just calling out people that we know John Cena's friends with? I mean, like Seth Rollins just did an interview. I can't remember who it was with, but I watched it not too long ago. Might have been Kay Adams. And he talked about, you know, his coffee shop that he has in Iowa. And he said, "Yeah, I've got a group text with Claudio Castagnoli and John Cena, and us three go back and forth about coffee. They're huge coffee snobs." So he could have just been calling out Claudio because he's one of his best friends. But of course, we're all trying to read the tea leaves. Oh, this is, he's alluding to the heat. And if you have to do that, it's not a pipe bomb. You know, like if we don't know specifically what he meant by that, it's not what you want it to be. And the problem with all of this is it really could have landed, and it could have been like one of those things where like, oh shit, can you believe he said that? But he would have to acknowledge outright AEW and all of everything that happened with Punk there and how he burned his career down and he had to come crawling back to the WWE. He could have said that, but I'm sure Punk would have went off the rails if he said that, and Punk wouldn't want him to say that. WWE probably doesn't want him to acknowledge AEW. So it's not really a pipe bomb. It's like, it's sanitized. It's like a sparkler.
There you go. It's like an NA beer.
Yeah, it's like an NA beer.
And I'm starting to love NA beers, by the way. I got about 3 loaded up for this game 7 tonight in basketball. It's either that or I go to Boca Chica. And I've had enough to drink in the last week. So we're trying to be clean here.
Yeah, like Huffman said, entertaining, but not an all-timer. I would agree. Like it was entertaining, but like it wasn't full of stuff where like, I can't believe he said that. Like we've talked about this on the show many times. The original Punk pipe bomb in 2011 was one of those things that it brought a lot of people back to wrestling. Like I was still watching, but I was definitely kind of in and out. And when I heard about it and I watched it, I was like, oh my God, he said that stuff on TV. I'm really interested in this match going into Money in the Bank. And I didn't miss any of the shows. This isn't something where like, if I was kind of in and out of wrestling and I saw this promo on social, I would be like, oh, I got to tune in, Jesse. I got to tune in to see what John Cena is going to say next. Oh my God, he called out Claudio Castagnoli. You know, like it's just, it was fine, but I didn't think it was great. And a lot of this is, again, the crowd cheered Cena when he was doing it. The whole thing has been a flop. We called it from the beginning, you know, that we've been saying this for months. It's just not working. Nobody buys John Cena in the heel role. They got to get out of this eventually. Everybody just wants to cheer him. He doesn't sell himself as a heel well at all. And I just thought like the problems with the promo and the dynamic between him and Punk are just indicative of a lot of the booking problems that they put themselves into by miscasting people here. And I think there's a lot of other problems also, you know, with and maybe they tried to solve that with the semifinal match on SmackDown. We'll talk about the bracket here in a second. But the way they've booked Cody has not been to his advantage either, because we saw Cody get booed against John Cena at WrestleMania, and if he wrestles Cena at SummerSlam, he's gonna get booed again. They book Cody into these matches in the tournament where he's also gonna get booed. We'll look at this bracket here in a second, but there, Jesse, lot of issues going on right now.
Yeah, you don't want your arguably number one baby face in the promotion to get booed. No. I wanted to go back a little bit before we move forward and just talking about some of the lines I did like with Cena was Punk changing his values more than he changes t-shirts and saying that this one was a little odd. I wish he had said you're a millionaire. He had said you're a billionaire in spite of yourself. And I did mention TKO taking Punk's balls and Cena calling him a capitalist. And that's something that we've been alluding to, just the hypocrite himself, CM Punk, right now. And just how we look at it, Cena is telling some truths here. So, we have that. No, I think regurgitating again, Cena's heel turn was the incorrect move. This could have been an easy face versus face scenario. I think if we do touch on something a little bit later from Raw, I think it was Raw on Monday, I'll tie together Cena and Bill Goldberg. But I think as well, and now we're looking at a Rhodes Orton, I would believe, men's King of the Ring qualifier to face Cena at SummerSlam. So once again, season 15 of WWE 2010 is in full effect. The only issue now is Cody Rhodes has actually made a name for himself. He's a much bigger deal being presented as.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just rough sledding right now for World Wrestling Entertainment.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey guys, this chat is popping today. I love seeing all these here. We got Tyler here, Niall checking in, John Hope, of course, Ryan Huffman, Carl, all the gang is here live with us, and we really appreciate that. Tyler saying, I think John Cena is going to be turning babyface. Yeah, they have to do this before the end of the year. And if it is Cena and Rhodes at SummerSlam and they have him drop the title, I think you do it immediately after. You know, to Niall's question about, could they have turned Cena in a way that works for us? I don't think so. Not when you know it's his farewell tour, at least. When the guy announces his farewell tour, nobody wants to boo him. He's an all-time legend. It's just not going to work. This whole, like, I'm going to hold the title hostage till I walk away thing, which, again, is like what Punk did back in 2011. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. And that was a babyface move back then, you know, so.
The only small fraction of hope, Niall, and this would be if Cena didn't have a retirement tour coming, was if Dwayne Johnson had actually followed through instead of like wrapping up the Cody situation in January and them. And there's still, we don't know the circumstances. If he was called back for Elimination Chamber as a one-off to sell tickets, that doesn't make any sense to me either. So I think Dwayne was just trying to squash it. Yeah, I think if Dwayne had followed through and helped in this John Cena heel situation, that's probably the only course of action that could have been taken to make it work.
You mean instead of distancing himself from a storyline that's clearly not working?
Correct.
Now, I mean, there's another point here. We know that Dwayne actually wanted Cody to be the one to turn heel. Was Dwayne right?
Ooh. Hey.
I didn't even think about asking you that, but I mean, we've talked about Cody as a heel being money down the line. what, was it too early? Maybe. But I think in the if they wanted him to feud with Cena, maybe I was right. I don't know.
That was the thing with Cody Rhodes in AEW. There was a heel turn all set for him to make. And I think with his own volition, that's part of the reason why he probably split. Again, we'll never really know the full truth on that. But
yeah, I mean, they're heavy with kind of top babyface characters right now, because you got Punk, who's obviously very much cheered by the audience, Jey Uso, and then you got Cody. And I mean, I can make the argument that Uso is more over than Cody right now. So, I mean, let me just put up this bracket. We need to talk about this. So again, we don't know what's going to be happening with WWE and Night of Champions. We've been talking about it. If you're just joining us live, you can rewind the show. We talked about it at the top. Should they move the show? Will they? I hope they move the show. I'd be stunned if they actually did, just given the amount of money involved. I would move the show. But as of right now, you know, they're still going over to Night of Champions. There's supposed to be some reporting coming up today on this. But as of now, they're still going to Saudi Arabia, and they're going to be crowning the King of the Ring. All right, this is the brackets. Now, don't blame me. WWE.com, 48 hours later, has still not updated their brackets. But we know from SmackDown on Friday night, Randy Orton beat Sami Zayn. All right, so Orton is in the finals. And on the other side, you got Cody and Jey Uso wrestling Monday night on Raw. The crowd is going to be behind Uso in that match, I imagine. So this is what I was talking about, where Cody has been in these situations where he's still the face, but like, he wrestles Cena and he gets booed. He's potentially wrestling Cena at SummerSlam, where I think he'll get booed. The crowd will be behind both men, but I think Uso is going to get more cheers in this. So you're going to get both of those guys on Monday night. There was the possibility that you could have had Rhodes and Sammy in the finals, which I think Sammy gets cheered in that scenario. So maybe that's why they didn't move forward with Sammy beating Orton. But at the same time, Orton winning leaves no ambiguity whatsoever on who's going to win. Whoever wins between Rhodes and Uso is going to win this tournament. Randy Orton is not going to win the King of the Ring and challenge for the title at SummerSlam. He just challenged for the title at Backlash. That would make no sense. So I think that was a move that they made to protect potentially Cody from getting booed against Sami Zayn. Right? Sami has been cheered loudly in Saudi Arabia. So I think he definitely would get the cheers over Cody in that scenario. So that's probably why they took Sami out. Because I thought, just creatively, Sami versus one of these guys was a much more interesting match, because it would be a little bit harder to predict the winner. It's not now. Do you agree? I mean, it's going to be Cody or Jey that wins this. I still lean towards Cody in the SummerSlam rematch with Cena, but they could go with Uso. Your thoughts, Jesse?
Yeah, that's four of your top five baby faces right there in
yeah
two. Where are the heels at, Mario? I'm just curious. Here's something as well. If they had not just taken the title off of Jey Uso, which, again, I think you can get into that a little bit later, you could argue, again, he is hotter than Cody at this point. If they really want to double down here, have Uso take the title off of Cena at SummerSlam. As much as I don't like his work rate, and I think that matters in 2025, if you are a world champion, he's making so much money. The fans are drawing into him still. They were heated after he lost that world title. Why not continue to go all in and let him be the one to take down John Cena and make a larger name for himself? I'm just throwing examples out there. Cody would be the safe play. I think that's the way that they should go. But if you really wanted to make a splash, have Jey Uso entertain a very long run on the SmackDown side of things with that title. And it's deemed the most important championship in the promotion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's more interesting than doing Uso Gunther again. I mean, I don't know. When I saw that promo, Jesse, I immediately thought of you, where on Monday Night Raw, they approached Jey Uso about the possibility of wrestling Gunther again. And he says, as far as he's concerned, they're 1-1. Because he beat Gunther at WrestleMania, and Gunther beat him last week on Raw. Jesse, are they 1-1?
If I'm not mistaken, Gunther is 4-1 lifetime against Jey Uso on television.
Saturday night's main event and a hugely hyped match earlier this year, let alone King of the Ring tournament last year, let alone an IC title match last year, all of which were won by Gunther. Dude, it's 4-1. What are you talking about?
The one thing that Triple H is doing that Vince McMahon did for the last probably 8 or 9 years, and he's starting to sprinkle it in even more because people are talking about his long-term storytelling, is he's going Will Smith Men in Black on you and asking you to just completely omit specific parts of history just for storyline purposes. No, right. Gunther owns him.
Yeah, no, I don't really have any interest in seeing that match again. God forbid Bill Goldberg wins the world title from Gunther. That would be atrocious. You want an all-time Top Rope Nation episode? Tune in if Bill Goldberg wins the world title. I have no intrigue on that match whatsoever. You talked about it, before, but like, what has Bill Goldberg done to win to challenge for the world title? I mean, he's been losing his matches it's been like 3 years since he wrestled, but he went out losing. Usually he would lose in like 6 minutes or less, and now he just come back and demand a world title shot. And then, you know, I get a little worried because I'm like, that match didn't need the title. They could have done Gunther Goldberg without the title. So are they actually thinking about putting the title? Because otherwise, why would you beat Jay for it? Yikes. Or, you know, you have Seth cash in, I guess. But to me, Seth should have cashed in, like we talked about. I mean, right after Money in the Bank, when they had Gunther Uso, he should have cashed in that night, been champion. That's the direction the company needs right now.
I'm going to dip my toe a little bit into the water because I'm going to save 75% of this for my episode of TRN Unplugged. Hint, patrons, you guys are going to get paid on this one. Here is a prime example. So Bill Goldberg has lost his last 4 matches. 3 of them have been world title opportunities. He is 57 years old. Now, in my line of work, the older I get, there's things, I'm almost 45, that I cannot do that I did when I was 32 years old. And I train weekly. Goldberg has not taken a bump in 3 years. Now, in wrestling, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief. Now, you can't fool somebody like me who works in said profession with physical attributes on display in athletics. Ryan's a huge sports fan himself, so he could tell you the exact same thing. Do you expect us to believe that Bill Goldberg, who I believe is 56 years old and has not wrestled in 3 years, has a logistic chance to beat one of the most dominant superstars of the last 4 years, actually, no, the most dominant superstar outside of Roman Reigns, for a World Heavyweight Championship without any matches in the last 3 years? Is that possible? To some in fantasy world, it is, because they want to kind of suspend it, and like the whole Toby Keith analogy, I'm not as good as I once was, but I can be good as once as I ever was. Not in this case. You're wrestling a world-class performer who is near the top of his game. I'm sorry. I don't believe that whatsoever. Again, patrons, you are going to get paid because I'm going to go even further in depth later on.
I mean, this isn't George Foreman in 1994. I mean, George Foreman famously won the world title when he was 45. Mm-hmm. Goldberg's over a decade older than that right now. You know, I mean, yeah, there's not really any believability in that. Unfortunately, I do believe they possibly could do that title change, which I think would be terrible. And I think as a wrestling fan, if you watch Saturday night's main event and earlier that day you watch All In Texas, if you see Hangman Page win the world title and you contrast that with Bill Goldberg winning the world title, which promotion you want to watch? I mean, if you're a wrestling fan and not just a WWE fan, I have a hard time believing any serious wrestling fan would be like overjoyed at Bill Goldberg winning the world title in 2025. Sounds terrible. Absolutely awful.
He almost single-handedly derailed Bray Wyatt's career in Saudi Arabia by defeating The Fiend for the world championship. And you want to try to do this again? History might be doomed to repeat itself, about a 3% chance. But if that happens, I don't like the looks of things for Gunther moving forward.
So much of this doesn't make sense. And this is a great comment from Carl. He says, when you have Braun hitting insane spear tackles. How bad is Billy Boy going to look doing this? I'm kidding. I mean, just, you know, the dynamic here, I keep trying to like rationalize it in my brain. Why would you take the title off of Jey Uso, a top tier babyface, when you have Seth Rollins and his heel group with Bron Breakker, you know, Bronson Reed and Heyman, when you need him to cash in clearly to become world champion, a heel, he's got, you want him to do it on a babyface. Now they've moved the title over to Gunther. There's no heat in Seth Rollins taking the title from Gunther. The only heat there is him taking it from Goldberg, which I think some of your audience would cheer. Thank God. Mm-hmm. The money was always in him screwing over Jey Uso. You know, so maybe that happens at SummerSlam. I don't know. I just not interested in Gunther Jey Uso again at SummerSlam. They just did it. They could be repeating both world title matches at SummerSlam if they just did at WrestleMania. Cody Cena also, you know, so I really keep coming back to, why didn't they do that on Raw right after Money in the Bank? Screw over Jey Uso. Rollins is a champion. That's the direction you need to go. I do think, I know we've been really negative on WWE on this podcast. I do think there's interesting things happening to the point. Mm-hmm. Like Bron Breakker is definitely a success. Rollins, I'm still interested in this heel group. He needs to be world champion soon. But then they like muddy the waters by bringing back Bill Goldberg. Muddy the waters by still doing these Saudi Arabia shows, you know, which are now very dangerous, I believe. Hope everyone stays safe over there. But there's the prospect, but things not could spiral out of control over there while they're overseas. I don't think it's worth the risk, you know. So there's positives and negatives. But to me, like, the booking has just been extremely, extremely questionable over the last several months over there.
Also, something that is to a lesser extent not that believable to me is Asuka coming back 14 months from injury, not having wrestled at all and winning a four-way and then defeating Alexa Bliss to earn her finals match at Queen of the Ring or for the Night of Champions 2. So one other point on Seth Rollins. If I can read the tea leaves correctly, I'm going to try to call my shot. I believe that Cody Rhodes will win this. I think he's going to defeat Cena at SummerSlam. You saw Seth and Cody go head-to-head at Raw. I think Seth cashes in on Cody and wins the Universal Championship.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, the most appetizing direction, I would say, creatively, since they didn't do any of those other things we discussed. That makes a lot more sense, but
especially with the draft in September.
Yeah, I think Carl had mentioned in the chat earlier if they've specified if it's a shot at your brand's title or a title from King of the Ring. I think last year it was the brand's title. I don't know if they've specified that this year. Not to my knowledge, but I think that's generally what people believe. Yeah, Niall, it made sense if Sammy was winning King of the Ring and then Seth screwed Sammy instead. Yep, absolutely. Let me just, you were talking about the women's tournament. Talk about this briefly and then we'll transition here to AEW to finish the show. So the women's bracket has also not been updated since SmackDown, but Asuka did defeat Alexa Bliss. So you got Asuka in the finals taking on the winner of Roxanne Perez and Jade Cargill this Monday night on Raw. I think it's my pick is Cargill is going to win the tournament. That's what I've thought from the beginning. Dave had an interesting note in the Observer on these four women, and he did this for the men too. But he was looking at, you know, where they rank in Google searches. And Cargill is like way behind the other three in Google searches. It's like not even close. Like there was way more disparity between the women than there was the men. But, you know, then he noted that WWE believes the ceiling is the highest for Cargill of these four. But as far as like Google traffic goes, she is way behind the other three. So that's interesting. I still think Cargill's going to win. You know, I don't see Asuka winning this. Cargill winning, playing into everything going on with the, you know, Naomi having the Money in the Bank briefcase and the title situation over there. I think that's probably the direction they go. Although, you know, you have Tiffany Stratton over there who is a babyface now. Cargill, a babyface, doesn't work out very well unless Naomi kind of gets herself involved in the title picture, whether that's cashing in before SummerSlam. And you do Naomi Jade Cargill at SummerSlam or adding herself to that match and making it a triple threat, you know, all possibilities. Where do you see this going, Jesse?
I think you're right. Logistically, for me, it would make sense for... I think Roxanne Perez has been making some pretty significant strides. I think she's somebody I would like to see win this and go on and wrestle Io Sky. That would be super entertaining. You could go the Asuka Io route as well, which we've been asking for singles match-wise. You can play on some prior history there. But they've invested a lot of money, resources, time into Jade Cargill in spite of her injuries. And storyline-wise, you're right. It does make more sense for Naomi's involvement in the briefcase to just kind of throw that that big question out there. When does she cash in? And it makes more sense that way. So I think Jade is the likely winner here, too.
Now, it is possible that the injury to Liv Morgan could change plans. Mm-hmm. So let me just say this. So obviously, you know, the Liv Morgan injury was pretty tragic on Monday night. It happens like less than 10 seconds into the match. She takes a move that people take all the time, just falling to the mat with her hands out and separates her shoulder. Reportedly, that injury is going to keep her out months. It was a pretty serious one. So my thought before the injury was what was going to happen in this match was that you were going to have Liv Morgan cost Roxanne the match on Raw, because Roxanne has cost Liv Morgan in the past, and that's how they would play this off to, you know, keep Perez looking good, advance that story with Liv Morgan and the Judgment Day, and then, you know, Cargill goes over. Now they're not going to have Liv to get involved in the finish potentially, so maybe they change directions. You know, it's possible, but that's kind of how I saw this playing out until we find out how serious, you know, that injury was with Liv. So really, really unfortunate situation over there. Carl, I see echoing that in the chat here too, talking about the Liv injury. Although he said Perez before Liv injury, I was counter to that. I thought Perez would get, she would lose because of Liv. Yeah.
Okay. And you thought that Liv would be the one to move on, or did you think Perez was going to be the one to lose to Cargill?
Oh, I thought Perez would lose to Cargill and Liv would cost her the match.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I think Cargill winning is my pick as of right now, though. So we'll see Monday.
Yeah, and then another, I think, quick one is Jacob Fatu and the Ascension with him. He's going to be heading into a feud with Solo, who has looked a little better in recent months, but hasn't resurrected his character enough for me, but he probably has enough for World Wrestling Entertainment's fan base. So mm-hmm. I'm psyched to see what Jacob Fatu does for the remainder of 2025. It's just fun to see the reactions he's getting.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. A little AEW talk, and then we are going to close up shop on this episode and enjoy the rest of our Sunday. So, Jesse, I mean, Arena Mexico, AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. What a freaking awesome show. I mean, I think we're seeing a very clear dynamic between these two major North American companies, where the not necessarily where the company leaders stand politically, but what they're presenting on screen to you. You know, you mentioned before, like, people WWE are in bed with politically, and that kind of filtering out to their television a little bit, and some of the people who are pushed and what they say on TV. And on the other side, you got a little more freedom to be, you know, looking around what's going on in the United States right now, more pro-immigrant, right? Brody King, you mentioned it earlier, the Abolish ICE t-shirt. Working a show in Mexico and working a situation where they're not taking over CMLL, but they are working side by side with CMLL, which is far different than, you know, the relationship that WWE is going to be having here with AAA moving forward. Totally different dynamics going on. I thought it was such a fun show. I enjoyed it so much. I know Justin, if he was on here, would say it too. He said it was one of the most fun shows he's watched in, I think he said years, in our text message. I'd have to bring it up.
Yeah, but he did.
He was super high on it also. Great wrestling. The crowd was outstanding. I think we talked about it in the months leading up to the show. You know, we were curious how they would set up the show, and they set it up with the authentic CMLL style with that entranceway and everything. I mean, the crowd, like I said, was off the charts. And it made me, to be honest with you, like, it made me want to watch CMLL, which is a win for them. Now, when I see, like, WWE and what they're doing with Worlds Collide and everything, it didn't make me want to watch AAA. But watching this, and just with some of the crossover and just how cool Arena Mexico is, not the first time I've seen the arena, obviously, but, like, just such a legendary spot. it made me want to check out more CMLL. And we know how much wrestling there is to watch these days with WWE and AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling and TNA doing interesting stuff here and there. NXT. But like, man, I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, maybe I should start watching CMLL. I always really like Lucha Libre. The problem is it's kind of hard to watch. You have to buy a subscription on YouTube, and it can get pretty pricey if you want access to all the shows. But it did its job in like opening up people's eyes to CMLL. And again, the company's feeling like equals, right? Your thoughts, Jesse?
A little more than normal. Yeah, I used to watch AAA on Twitch like 6-7 years ago when the WWE was down, and that was a whole lot of fun. So this inclusion with CMLL, and you're right about those crowds, and I wrote an article a long time ago about the history of Lucha Libre and who I felt was on Dia de los Muertos, which is November the 2nd, who the three greatest deceased pro wrestlers from Mexico were. And just seeing the lineage of like the Santoses and the Octagons and the Blue Demon, and just how larger than life they were. Look no further, and you already alluded to this, Ryan, than Mystico's entrance and how the people just portrayed him like he was this larger than life character. So it was a big deal. It almost felt like in a different direction. We were watching Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago in Rocky IV when MJF was in the corner playing the role of Drago and the Russian in enemy territory. And Mystico's showmanship was just so fun to watch.
That entrance, I was joking about a Blue Sky. I watched it so many times. And then, you know, I'm seeking out the song that he came out to, the song that came out back in 2006, which is just, you know, you probably know more about this than me, but I know it's like an ultra popular song throughout the region. And I think the video for that song has like 80 million views on YouTube or something. But the music video from 2006, it's all about Mystico, which is super cool. So if you haven't seen the music video, you should seek it out. It's like a love song. If you speak Spanish or you look up the translation of it, but just that song is awesome. And the crowd singing it and screaming the lyrics back at him. I loved it so much. Great stuff.
And Hangman Page doing his entire promo in Spanish in the first 5 minutes. And for me to be able to understand 85% of it was awesome. I go, yes, this is way better than Duolingo. Let's have Hangman Page speak Spanish to me for the next like 10, 15 minutes. I almost want to watch it on a loop.
Yeah, it was out. And again, that's the contrast between the two promotions. They felt comfortable putting Hangman out there, cutting the entire promo in Spanish. You had Excalibur like trying to translate it a little bit. It was awkward because then he was kind of going over the top of him, and it didn't really work. But they didn't lose viewers because of that. I mean, this was the most watched Dynamite on cable since early 2024, and it did not, and that does not include all the viewers on Max, which we've talked about here a lot. I always watch on Max. I know Justin always watches on Max. A lot of people I know do because the picture quality is better. And I mean, there's tens of thousands of people watching on Max in addition to the number you're seeing for TBS. So I do think that slowly, and some of this is anecdotal, like posts I see on Reddit and stuff where people are fed up with WWE and they go to the AEW Reddit and they're asking for like advice on getting into the current storylines and everything. But I've seen more and more of this stuff. Of course, that's a small amount of fans, but still it's happening. We have seen AEW's viewership ticking up. Their live attendance model has changed because they are running like these smaller venues a lot of the time for TV. Not this week, obviously, but most weeks they're running smaller venues. Then they run the big places for pay-per-views, and they usually draw a good crowd. But it's hard to measure attendance right now because of the change in their model, but it seems to me like the demand for tickets just following WrestleTix has gone up a little bit. I do think that they're starting to move in the right direction. We have said that creatively, we have thought AEW this year has been outstanding. Much to Paul Levesque's dismay, I don't think he's winning Booker of the Year this year. I mean, I think Tony Khan is for sure above him at this point in time. Both guys have won it in the past. But I think the booking's been very good. We have enjoyed the build to All In, and yeah, I mean, pretty high on what that company's doing right now.
The vast majority of it, because there is something I do agree with Carl on in the chat in the very first comment there, the last one, most recent. I will say from 2 weeks back, Swerve and Ospreay opening up that show, I think it was Summer Blockbuster. I just rewatched it this morning and great stuff. And it tied into a storyline that's going to be coming down the road with Ospreay taking the bullet for Swerve by the Young Bucks, which is probably leading to a tag match. I'm going to go to the one negative right now, and I don't like the build of Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Don Callis's inclusion is not needed at this point.
Agreed.
The Omega and the diverticulitis situation, I think, has been beaten to death. Just let the history of these two guys going at it with four of the most epic matches in the history of professional wrestling speak volumes. And there's way more to it than that. We don't need Don Callis at this point. So yeah, I don't like how they have done much of the course of the build at all for that one.
Now, like, the video packages have been very good that they've aired for that. And yeah, I think it was after the first video package, I saw people on social saying, oh, this feels like the main event. This has to main event the show. I do not agree with that. I think the title match has to main event. And I would be stunned if they put the world title match, I should say. And I'd be stunned if they put Okada and Omega out there at the end. I just look at what they've done in the past. You know, we've talked about where Moxley's matches have lacked in the main event because he's had to like follow people he couldn't follow. But I think the Moxley Hangman match has a lot of steam. People are going to be really behind Hangman ending that title reign. You would think he would win the title at a stadium show. It's going to be a huge moment. There's no way that can't go on last. Yes, Okada and Omega had some of the best matches in wrestling history. You can't, I don't, what do you think? I don't think you can put that one on last ahead of the AEW world title match.
No, especially with Moxley and Hangman's chemistry with, I believe they've had three matches. They might have only had two, but they all, both of them or all three have been in the 4-star range. Mm-hmm. So they seem to get very good things out of each other. And I just lost my train of thought. Oh, the AEW Unified Championship. I am a little bit concerned with how they've termed that too, because if I have heard this correctly in passing, there is a chance that this could be higher than a mid-card championship. Maybe what does this mean? Does that mean it's almost the equal of the AEW World Heavyweight Championship? Or is it just like a half notch below? And you look at who has held these championships of late, like the International, Omega, Takeshita, Will Ospreay. Those are your who's who. And then you have the World Championship right now, which we're thinking it's going to be Hangman. So the talent chasing the Continental, which, by the way, Okada, one of the best ever, and Kingston was the first holder, and look who he had to defeat to do it, Danielson and Moxley. It's a little bit worrisome there and how they're going to treat this title.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that they're combining the titles. We've been very vocal about them having too many titles, you know, so I think that's the right decision. But yeah, I'm curious what direction they go with that too. I mean, to your point about the matches these two have had before, you know, I just double checked to look it all up. Obviously the Texas Death Match at Revolution back in 2023. Oof, Meltzer gave that 5 good. Stars. It was a great match. Paige won the match. They went 26 minutes on that one. That is their most recent singles match. They had another match that Dave went 4.5 stars on. This was on the February 1st, 2023 edition of AEW Dynamite, where Moxley defeated Page. It opened the show that night. That's a good one. You can look up in the archives. Then you go back to January 11th of 2023. Meltzer went, 4.25 on this one. This was on AEW Dynamite again. That also opened the show. January 11th, 2023. It went a little over 14 minutes. Page won that one. And the only other one they had was back in 2022, October 18th of 2022.
This is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this was Title Tuesday. That was their first singles match. That was the main event. Moxley defeated Page in that one. Referee stoppage, 11 minutes and 52 seconds.
Moxley knocked him out cold.
Yeah, that's the lowest rated of the four. But yeah, I mean, the last three they've had have all been outstanding stuff. All, like you said, over 4 stars. I'm expecting it to be an awesome match, and you just can't not main event with that. There's just no way. You can't possibly put that like in the semi main spot, especially if Paige is going to win the title.
A cowboy rolling into Texas to rescue the company from a guy who's been holding the title hostage for the last 9 months. You don't think that's main eventing?
Right. Yeah, I was stunned. I saw a lot of people saying it then. It was the night they had that first video back. Oh, this has to main event. What are you guys talking about? No, it doesn't. It's not going to main event. It shouldn't main event. I just fiercely disagree with that.
They are two different people at this point, too. I mean, Omega's still kind of just getting back from injury. And another Carl point here with Kazuchika Okada as well. So this is something I've seen out of Okada before, where he just kind of like lays in the weeds and just like lets everybody else have their moment. And then just when you think he's out of it, here he comes with this mind-blowing match. I think this is what he's holding all of his marbles for. I expect nothing less than probably 4.5 from these two, in spite of like maybe they're both of their physical conditions. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kota Ibushi, by the way, Ryan, returning last night.
Yeah, didn't expect that. I haven't seen Collision, but when I saw that, I was pretty surprised. So
that was kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah. All right. So we got plenty to talk about in the weeks ahead, but I think we've pretty much covered everything we wanted to hit this morning. Yeah. Did I leave off anything?
I'll add something with Toni Storm almost cosplaying Carmen Sandiego these last couple of weeks. Yeah. I kind of enjoy that too.
Yeah.
And her promo with Mercedes over the last couple of weeks and how she's going to hunt her down. And Mercedes just tacked on another championship, CMLL Women's World Champion. So I know she just dropped the New Japan Strong title. She might have gotten that back. She had like 6 titles around her arms at Arena Mexico.
Yep. 3 on one arm, 2 on the other, 1 around the waist. Yeah. And you love the people that are criticizing her. Like this is how they want to book her. It's not her demanding she has to win the titles. This is how she's being booked. She's not adverse to losing matches. This is just the way they want to do it. And look, she deserves it. She's one of the best women's wrestlers of modern times.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing great, great stuff. You know, all those takes when she first debuted with AEW that it was underwhelming, she pretty quickly put those critics to rest and has just been doing really outstanding stuff since then. So
yeah, babyface promos aren't her thing.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we got coming up. We got Jesse doing a TRN unplug. He does the show every single week. You guys, if you want to support the show, become a patron. There's a link here in the broadcast description, or if you're watching on your TV, you can scan that QR code right now. We now have over 200 bonus shows in the archives. That's TRN Extra, TRN Classics. More on that in a second. Top Rope Nation Unplugged with Jesse every single week. You get access to all of those shows for just $5 a month. You support what we are doing and supporting independent pro wrestling broadcasts in the process. You know, the corporations are trying to get in the podcast game more and more. I mean, for God's sakes, I'm sorry. If you want to listen to a Stephanie McMahon podcast, we got nothing in common. But, you know, WWE is doing their podcast thing again. They seem to flirt with this every few years, and it lasts a few episodes, and then it dies out. We have been doing, for the most part, weekly shows since July of 2016. We're not just like starting a show and trying to cash in. We've been doing this for almost a decade. And if you want to help us out and support what we do, and you appreciate the time and effort that goes into these shows, show us your love by becoming a patron, because you get all this bonus content you're really going to love, like TRN Unplugged. But then also, we just released a TRN Classics where we brought back the man, the myth, the legend, Kyle Ross. This just dropped about 1.5 weeks ago, where we went back and we reviewed the May 1989 edition of Saturday Night's Main Event, one of Hulk Hogan's greatest matches of all time, the cage match with Big Boss Man. We went about 2 hours with Kyle. A lot of laughs, good time. You can hear that over on Patreon, as well as the full archive. Like I said, over 200 shows.
Back-to-back 2-hour patron-exclusive shows. Well, technically, one of them wasn't a patron-exclusive show, but Kel Dansby and Cam and I went Broadway times 2 as well.
That one, yeah, that one we put out for everybody because it was such a good show, and I wanted people to see what you're getting behind the paywall. Like Jesse was initially going to do that show just for patrons last week, and I'm like, nope, send that out to everybody, give them a taste of what TRN Unplugged is like, and if you enjoyed that show, he's got shows dropping every single week. You know, Jesse's doing the flagship here, but then also doing that bonus show, and then all of us are doing Top Rope Nation Classics, and I'm doing Top Rope Nation Extra here and there, so there's a lot of stuff to dip your toes into to check it all out. John Hope in the chat, classics and unplugged, always good times. And we appreciate John's patronage.
And we want a Meet the Nation podcast to start soon. We are so close. Everybody wants to hear Justin join a little bit more too.
Yeah. If we get 50 paying patrons,
so close,
we will start a new bonus show called Meet the Nation where Justin will interview and just talk wrestling fandom with all of our listeners and patrons, and it would be a really fun show to do. Justin's been wanting to do this for like well over a year. He pitched me the idea, and so we set the goal, 50 paying patrons, help us get there. Sign up for the Patreon this summer. Check it out. Niall says, can we get convince Kyle to come back for classics every month? As you guys know, one of the major reasons Kyle stepped away from the podcast is he does not like modern wrestling, and talking about it was not fun for him anymore. But he does still love classic wrestling. And, you know, I don't know about every month, but I think we could get Kyle on quite often, possibly. You know, his schedule ramps up a lot in the fall with football season. That was always an issue at his shoot job, you know, when we were doing the show every week. But, you know, if it's an easy show to watch, or if it's a show that we know he has seen a lot that he doesn't have to prep for as much like this one was, then we usually reach out to him. Or like last fall he was on because it was Survivor Series 92 and he went to that show. Things like that, we always reach out to him and we try to make it work. So yeah, we'll definitely get Kyle back on before the end of the year, and maybe more than once. I'll make you that promise for sure.
Absolutely.
So hey, this has been a good time. We had a really good live audience. Maybe some of you are checking us out because you saw the Unplugged that was live last week. We reached some new viewers, you know, bringing on
sure did
Alan Cam last week. So that was awesome to see. We'll get those two, I think, on a flagship in the future. Because yes. I would love to talk to those two in the future on a podcast. At least interact with them on social media, but never done a podcast with them like you have.
I actually just found two different creators that are connected with them that I'm going to probably have on Unplugged in the future. So this really did reach a broader audience, I can tell you, especially Kel. He's a little bit out of the norm from what you regularly hear on Top Rope Nation. And Cam is so well spoken. I just truly enjoy his work, both on social and his writing as well.
Yeah. I agree. Very much agree. So thanks again to those guys for coming on. We'll make that happen again. Thanks to everyone who tuned in live this morning on your Sunday morning. Appreciate your support. Always enjoy seeing our friends across the pond over in the UK able to tune in live. This time slot has really been working out well since we made this shift. So we appreciate that support from all of you guys. And yeah, Jesse, that's all I got, man. Appreciate it. Hopefully next time Justin will be on with us, but it's as easy as always talking pro wrestling with you, my friend.
It always is, Ryan. We've had that chemistry for a few years, even before I was on Safe Mowing Justin Joint. I'm going to throw my AC on, and now I'm going to walk over to my Starbucks that's like 3.5 blocks away for a Nitro because I want to have fun watching this Game 7. ECW Barbed Wire Hoodies and Choke Slams from 1995. I'll be viewing that today and working on a 500-piece puzzle. Good times.
Nice. Keeping busy. You love to hear it. All right, guys, we appreciate your support as always. Check us out on Patreon, join the Facebook group Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion, and you can follow us on all the socials, Blue Sky X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook as well. Find us there. We'll be talking to you all again in a few days. Take care, everybody. Stay safe out there.
Abolish ICE.
Pero por tus besos, por tu ingrata sonrisa, por tus bellas caricias, eres tú mi alegría. Pido que no me falles, que nunca te me vayas y que nunca te olvides, que soy yo quien te ama, que soy yo quien te espera, que soy yo quien te llora, que soy yo quien te anhela. Los minutos y horas me muero por besarte, dormirme en tu boca.
5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.